Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Sometimes I go right when the right way was left. Cause the scribbles look so sad. And who says you can't win them all if you try?
Master Farad Muhammad, Almighty God, Allah, who has come to us this day in person, and we forever give praise and thanks to him for coming in our midst and raising and leaving up one amongst us who is considered and acknowledged to be the last and the greatest of the messengers of God. We talk about none other than our leader, teacher, and guide for these final days of judgment, the most holy and humble, Elijah Muhammad. And we greet all of you, all of our listening audience, with peace and love in the original language of Arabic, which means peace be unto you. We say to you all in both their names with love, As-salamu alaykum. For those of you who may wish to participate in our discussion today, you're welcome to call in at 347-989-0855. Or you can hit us up with a message at Hiram1555@yahoo.com. As always, we'd like to thank you for giving us another hour of your day and another day of your time. We'd like to thank the thousands of you who listen from around the globe and the thousands of you who will download us later from all of our affiliate sites, be it Hiram1555.tumblr.com, Twitter.com/Hiram1555. Facebook.com/Hiram1555. BlogTalkRadio.com/Hiram1555. And our main news blog, which is formerly TrumpetOfTruth.wordpress.com and also formerly SalaamJournal.com and SalaamJournal.org, which is now the Hiram1555 blog at Hiram1555.com. Again, my family, my beloved family, let me say unto you all in peace, Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to another edition of one of the two most powerful shows and platforms on the face of planet Earth. This is your platform for black education, liberation, and empowerment. This is the Star and Crescent Report, and our show today is titled, This is the Lull Before the Storm. Now, why I say it's one of the two most powerful platforms, and no longer the most powerful platform. Well, it is to me. It is still the most powerful platform, but we have another option, which is called the Red Pill Diaries. You can catch us, matter of fact, you can catch us live on YouTube, and please catch us live on YouTube Saturday at 6 p.m. Central Time, 7 Eastern Time, this coming weekend, and also go and sub to our Patreon at the Red Pill Diaries. That's all one word, the Red Pill Diaries, on Patreon, okay? Patreon.com/the Red Pill Diaries. Go check us out over there. We got a whole bunch of new content coming in the upcoming days and week. We had to push it back a little bit because we're now trying to recuperate from the storm. I'd like to thank each and every one of you who have shown love and support and who have looked out for my well-being, and also for those of you who give zakat or charity for the Hiram 1555 blog and the Star and Crescent Report and now the Red Pill Diaries. Thank you all. I mean, it's greatly needed and much appreciated. Now, let's go into our show. This is the Lull Before the Storm. You know, if you look at everything that is taking place around the globe, and specifically here in America, there's no doubt about it that we are looking at the economic implosion of America. We're not only looking at the economic implosion of America, we're looking at the fallout from the economic and the political ineptitude and implosion of America. There's no way around it. Some of you who are captivated and just enthralled with America's political system, some of you can't see it, and you keep saying, let's change America and let's vote. Let's change America and let us go and run for office. We can change the system, and you just don't get it. You cannot change the American system because the American system did not spring out of the air. As I often say, systems do not just pop up. Systems are a product of the mind. Systems are a product of the people who long for certain things. And so these people who run the system and these people who create or made the system, when you look at the system, it is a reflection of those people. It is, look at America's system. It is a system of theft, robbery, deceit, right? War, exploitation. Is that not right? And when you look at this, and you look at the founding fathers of that system, you will see that the system is a byproduct. The system is a reflection of the mind, the thought, and the actions of those founding fathers and mothers of America. Is that not right? So inherently, and from the very grain of its essence, the American system is a vampire, succubus, or parasitic system. It is racist by nature. It is racist from the very core. And those of you who wish to join the system are joining not knowing, or some of you know but are refusing to acknowledge it. You'll say, well, we got to change things because of this. And then you get mad. This is something. You get mad because white people are upholding their founding fathers, who are the basis of the system. You want to be a part of a system. You want them to change their makeup, but that is not what's going to happen. That's not how it happens. You are mentally dead I'm talking to you about something. Let me go in. Let me see if I can find something in the fall of America about this. All right? Okay, listen. Oh, man, I tell you what, God is good. God is good. Now, in a chapter 28, and also goes over to chapter 29, and I wasn't even going to go into this, but this is the fall of America. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad talks about, in certain words, he talks about the makeup of the system. And for those of you who are listening to this show, who are unfamiliar with how we do this, we always lay the base, right, to build a strong foundation so when we erect the house or the domicile for you to walk inside, it's sturdy and passes the inspection, right? And it is very livable for all the inhabitants. We don't want to build something with a shaky or unsturdy foundation because you can get in there, and even if it passes the test, after a few hard winds, it blows down. No, no, no. We build it from the ground up strong, okay? So we're going to talk about the economic collapse of America. We're going to talk about the surrounding nations uniting against America. We're going to talk about all the blowback effect of America and the Western world's policies and how we're looking at the law before the storm. But you got to bear with your brother, okay? Don't think hard of me. But in this book, The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, right, chapter 28, is modern America as merciless as ancient Nineveh? And in here it says, woe to the bloody city. It is all full of lies and robbery. The prey departeth not. The noise of a whip and the noise of the rattling of the wheels and of the prancing horses and of the jumping chariots. Nahum 3, 1, and 2. That's in the Bible. He goes and says, America answers this prophecy of the ruins of ancient Nineveh. Nineveh was full of lies and robbery. So is America. This is what he just said. Nineveh was full of lies and robbery. So is America. I want to ask you something before I go further. If you look at something, let's just say, for instance, you look at the fruit, right, a piece of fruit, and you say, I don't like that fruit. The fruit is wrong for me. But if I become a part of the fruit, maybe I can change the taste. Do you believe that will happen? I'm asking you this. It don't work like that. You have to go to the very DNA of the fruit to change its taste. You have to go to a grafting process to change the fruit. Is that not? But because God has ordained destruction for America, if we don't have the time nor the luxury to go to the very core of America to change her, as a matter of fact, she's not been good enough for that to happen. Right? Even to this late time in prophecy, America is still beating, robbing, killing, stealing, and warring against you and everybody on the face of the planet Earth. I dare you to defy me on this. Because all we have to do, we don't even have to look around the world. Look how she mistreats her ex-slaves, people who have been loyal to her for nearly five centuries. And yet you still are not treated, nor are you seen as an equal citizen here in America. Now, doubt me on that. You are the only people, right, that need a Voting Rights Act to include you into a political system that has dominated you. I want you to let that sink in. So every so often, a president has to give a presidential decree to restore your so-called voting rights. They don't do that to nobody else. It's you. And you don't think God is wrong with these people of how they treat you? So the scripture says to us, in America's downfall, it says that fire and water would be running side by side. We see California, Oregon, Washington State on fire. We see here in the South, as a matter of fact, it's raining right now. And on the East Coast, lashed by rains and mudslides. As a matter of fact, I put an article up. It comes here on the Highlands 1555 blog, Destin, Florida. Destin, Florida is a place, a luxury place where white people go to stay. It's about 40 minutes away from where I stay at. About 40 minutes by car. Yeah, about 40, 45 minutes. If that much, I might be overestimating the time. Might be 25, 30 minutes. Yeah, between 20 and 40 minutes to Destin, according to how you, if you take the interstate or if you take the back road. This place is where white people go to play, with the luxurious beaches and the all of the designer shops and all of this stuff, right? The high cost of living. They say it has some of the most beautiful beaches in the world, like Pensacola. And every time a storm comes, it ravages them. As a matter of fact, on the article, it talks about the erosion of the beaches. I'm just giving you something. What attracts the people to Destin, Florida, is the beaches. So guess what God did during Sally? God used Sally to erase some of the most beautiful beaches. You understand? He's attacking these people and destroying their luxurious ways, and you cannot see it. He's doing it by degrees from which you cannot perceive. America's being attacked, as I mentioned on my show before. I don't know if it was this one or the Red Pill Diaries. About a week ago. Something like that. We had an earthquake down here in Escambia County. An earthquake. We are in the panhandle of Florida. We are in the southern state, Florida. We're in the most southern region of the United States. Right? Outside of the occupied territories of, you know, the Caribbean or the Caribbean. And there was an earthquake in Florida, in Escambia County, the county that I stay in. Earthquake. The people were so fearful, they said that it felt like their houses were shaking off the foundation. When have you heard that, brothers and sisters? Earthquakes in diverse places. Okay? If you don't believe that this white man and his system is under attack, look at what's going on in the political discourse. The derision and the delusion of the president and his opponent in the presidential selection. Not election, selection. Because they're being selected by what they call the secret hand which runs America. All right? They're, brothers and sisters, it's just so much going on that you don't understand. And yet you want to be a part of a political system that is corrupt to the core. Now, I often bring this example up when I'm talking to you. And we're going to go into some clips shortly. Just bear with you, brother. When God gave orders to Moses, and Moses said, I talked to Pharaoh. Pharaoh ain't going to listen to me. He's not going to listen. God said, I don't care nothing about that. You just go do what I told you. Whether he hears or forbears, it doesn't matter. You go do what I told you to do. And just know that I'm going to be with you. He ain't going to touch you, right? He may be mad at you, but if you walk in the power and wisdom that I gave you, he ain't going to touch you. So God told Moses to go and tell Pharaoh X, Y, and Z. And each time Moses did it, Pharaoh's hard heart, right? And then he would say, okay, I'll stop doing this. Tell your God to turn away this chastisement. And as soon as God does it, Pharaoh will go do something else. Because that was his nature. And even while this was going on, something that you miss and that you never, and your pastors don't tell you in the scripture is that all while the judgment was taking place in ancient Egypt against Pharaoh, and all while the judgment was taking place against ancient Babylon, those sacred vessels that were held in the midst, captive, even though they didn't know they were captive, because they had not known another God, because Pharaoh in Babylon, ancient Egypt, and those in Babylon had been put under a blanket of disinformation so that they would not know how precious they were to God. So even though Pharaoh was under judgment in Egypt and Babylon was under judgment, right? Some of those people who were the elect of God wanted to be a part of the power structure of those nations and none of those people. And they thought if they could just marry Pharaoh's people, or if they could just become a senator or a politician, they could reap some of the benefits of those systems. But the system is so corrupt that regardless of how you are, it will corrupt you. Because if you are part of corruption, and if you live under corruption, and you have to govern a corrupt system, it takes you. You understand? So what must be done? The whole system must be gotten rid of. And the people who built the system, because if you take the system and remove it and leave the people, they will re-erect that which you tore down. This is the law before the storm. We're watching the implosion of America. Okay? God is raising up enemies to America. Right? Let's go a little further in this book. All right, brothers and sisters, you bear with your brother, okay? He says, America answers this prophecy of the ruins of ancient Nineveh. Nineveh was full of lies and robbery, so is America. The prey departeth not. What prey? Those sacred vessels. Those people who had the economic and political and educational boot on their neck. Right? And any time they rose up and asked for something, not only was the government against them, but those who benefited from the system was against them. Right? Can't you see that? And what's going on today? I'm not making anything up. I'm showing you. He says, and then they wouldn't let you go free. They don't want you to separate to yourself. They don't want you to go for self. They don't want you to be politically, morally, educationally, economically independent from them, because they want you to be under their foot and boot on a 24-hour, 7 days a week, 12 months out of a year basis. And this is the root of the judgment of America, because she would not give justice by those whom God demands justice for. So the Lord of the world comes to exact judgment against those who deprive his elite or his chosen of judgment. Okay, let's go further. And then, brothers and sisters, you'll see how all this measures in with the economy. For those of you who are not aware, just bear with me. All right? He says, the poor so-called Negroes in America are the prey, and they refuse to depart from America regardless of the evil treatment they receive. Though the whips and clubs of their enemies are heard night and day upon the heads and the backs of the prey, the so-called Negroes, they still do not desire to depart from America. Stop right there. What's going on? They're killing you on camera, is that not right? They're killing you, they're misusing you, they're abusing you, and then you go to their governments asking for justice. And guess what the government does? Label you the terrorist. You're the terrorist. President Trump said that you are the terrorist. I'm not making this up. He called the people who are protesting the terrorists. He didn't call the people who were strong-arming and killing so-called civilians on the street the terrorists. He called the ones who were being brutalized and victimized the terrorists. This is what America does. To prove to you that her political system domestically is a reflection and mirrors that of her international system, right? All one has to do is look at what she's done to Venezuela. The tyrant Maduro. That's what she calls him, right? The illegitimate government of Maduro, even though Maduro got more votes than any Western leader, he's illegitimate in the eyes of America, and she's sanctioning and trying to dictate what goes on in Venezuela. Even though President Assad got over 70 or 80% of the vote, and it was verified by the Carter Center, you know, former President Jimmy Carter, it was verified to be legitimate what America does. Calls him the dictator, is that not right? And then illegally occupies part of his land and says, we have the right to self-defense. Now listen, somebody comes in your house illegally, occupies some rooms in your house where your children and your wife and your family stay, and then they say, if you throw us out because we're bigger, stronger, and have more weapons than you, we will kill you because we have the right to self-defense. Think at the insanity of that plea. This is what she does. And at the same time, if a police officer is killed trying to brutalize and victimize the ex-slave, the ex-slave is the terrorist. The ex-slave is not a liberation fighter. He He's not one who is yearning for self and trying to protect his life. No. The ex-slave is considered a terrorist, and we must support our police enforcement at all costs. You know why? Because the police and the sheriff departments are a direct descendant of the slave patrol. And these are the people who are called the enforcers domestically of the empire. And unless you get that in your mind, pleading to the government is not going to stop this. Why? Because the government is who they protect. Because they are beneficiaries of the policies erected by that government. I want you to understand. So when the people of Breonna Taylor screams out, this is not right, and when others scream out, they're killing us, these are the winds of war that are beating on the dry bones here in America. This is just the beginning of the sorrows, because you are rejecting the right answer, which is separation. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that as these winds of wars blow and beat upon the dry bones here in America, it will force the dry bones to have a reappraisal of their self, of their priorities, and cause them to start thinking about separation. Now, you got a big deal about people wanting to buy their own land, wanting to do this, to separate from this beast. This is just the beginning of that. You're in the law before the storm. And all while America is attacking you inwardly, she has outside forces coming against her. Right? Remember, that's how God destroyed other nations? He brought outside forces against them. You listening to me? I hope you are. Because these are the terrible days of Allah. What did God say? We go to page 197 on this subject right here. Then we'll tie this in to geopolitics, and we're going to show you how all that ties in to economics. Right? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, though Babylon should mount up to heaven, and though she should fortify the height of her strength, yet from me shall spoilers come unto her, saith the Lord. America's under a destruction similar to that of ancient Babylon. You hear that? So when you look at this, I'm going to finish reading it, but I want to bring something to your attention. When you look at what is going on, one has to do a comparative analysis of what took place in ancient times and in biblical times, right? Oh, man. The word similar means resembling without being identical. Why is it just similar? Because what God wants you to do is look at ancient Babylon, look at ancient Egypt and what happened to them. And you can see the essence of it in the destruction of America. But what's happening to them in America will be greater than you can ever comprehend when God gets done with her. Because America is the most wicked and evil nation to ever live. And she's showing you and the world through her domestic and international policies that she has not changed. She's only getting more arrogant and more evil and more vicious and has a stronger bloodlust for war. You understand? So he says, America's under a destruction similar to that of ancient Babylon. In the Bible, Jeremiah, Isaiah, and Revelation of John prophesied concerning her. Babylon, their mission is a future Babylon and not a Babylon of the past. America has enslaved all of the so-called Negroes, and her evil mistreatment of them is similar. Not completely like, but similar. Something to give you an idea of. Right? Of how she treats you. So it says, America has enslaved all of the so-called Negroes, and her evil mistreatment of them is similar to ancient Babylon's enslavement and mistreatment of the Jews, according to the scriptures. It took not you, not me. It took the hand of God to bring the king of Babylon and his people into submission to the power of God. See, all of you coming up with all these rosy plans, it won't work. God already figured it out long before you ever arrived on the shores of America in slave ships. It was already preordained. You just got to do your part. And he says, what happened? How did God do this? It took the hand of God to bring the king of Babylon and his people into submission to the power of God, right? We're going to make America great again. That's a euphemism for we're going to make America white again. We're going to make America has never been great. If you want to consider America great, yes, she's been great in evil and filth and war and exploitation and rape and murder. She's the greatest of that. But with justice and equality and freedom, three of the basic characters of the universe, she's been lacking in every area in existence. But listen what he says. And when you listen to me talk and I repeat something again and I repeat it again, it's because I'm bringing home a point to you that you may overlook. It took the hand of God to bring the king of Babylon and his people into submission to the power of God. Well, what does that mean? He brought the surrounding kings and their power against ancient Babylon in the prime. Not when she wasn't ready to rumble. Not when she no longer had nuclear weapons. Not when she didn't have no Virginia-class nuclear submarines. No. He brought them against her at the prime of her power, at the height of her power, the scriptures tell us. The height of her glory. And what did we see? The handwriting on the wall. Look at what's going on geopolitically. How these alliances, see, every time America thinks that she's one step ahead of you, God shows her, and knocks her back, and says, listen, you're 20 steps behind. 30 steps, 30,000 steps. So you go over here, and I call something to happen over there. You go over there, multiple dominoes fall over here. You alienate Russia. Russia links up with China. You alienate China. China and Russia say, you know what? We're going to build up the gold reserves. You alienate them, and you try to force feed them and force them into your submission. Then, you know, they say, you know what? You always feed our enemies. Let us feed your enemies. Then you see an alliance build with Turkey, with Pakistan, with China, with Russia, with Iran. And now, to add injury to the insult of American hubris and imperialism, just the other day, Russia kicks off her 2020 military drills with guess who? Some of the nations that America has been destabilizing and trying to overthrow their government. Is that not right? What did the scripture say? He brought the surrounding kings and their power against ancient Babylon in the prime, the height of her glory, the handwriting on the wall. I want you to hear this. This is just a few minutes. But listen, this goes to what God has done to ancient Babylon, what he's doing to modern Babylon. He's bringing the surrounding kings, the surrounding nations, against America at the height of her power. At the height of the American Empire's glory. Listen to what he says right here in this clip.
The massive week-long Caucasus 2020 military exercises have kicked off in southern Russia. The country's servicemen demonstrate their capabilities alongside their allies from China and a lot of other countries. So what's Russia's goal with these military drills exactly? Here's RT's Yulia Shapovalova with the details.
Ensuring the security in the southwest of the country, as well as countering terrorism, those are the goals of the main maneuvers of the year taking place right now in southern Russia. More than 80,000 servicemen, hundreds and hundreds of armored vehicles, warships, combat aircraft, artillery and air defense units. All that huge power is is involved in the strategic exercises. To accommodate all that, it took the waters of two seas and several firing ranges. The territory of some of them exceeds the area of some European states. According to Russia's defense ministry, up to 1,000 servicemen from Armenia, Belarus, China, Myanmar and Pakistan have been invited to participate in the joint actions, while representatives from Azerbaijan, Indonesia, Iran, Kazakhstan, Tajikistan and Sri Lanka are attending as observers. In addition, Iranian warships will join the Russian Black Sea Fleet and the Caspian Flotilla groupings in the waters of the Black and Caspian Seas. It was also originally planned that formations from India would arrive at Caucasus 2020. However, in late August, New Delhi reported that its military would not come to Russia due to the coronavirus pandemic. Meanwhile, Moscow says the number of frontline soldiers does not exceed 13,000, so there is no need to invite observers from the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, as stipulated by the 2011 Vienna document that defined the scope of military exercises on European soil. Usually in Russia, large-scale military drills take place once a year in one of the districts of the country. So in 2017, they held the strategic exercises called West, in 2018 there was East, and in 2019 there were maneuvers called Center. According to Moscow, the Caucasus 2020 exercises are aimed at improving professional skills and do not pursue aggressive goals. By the way, the most numerous grouping of the troops was sent to Russia by Belarus. The exercises involve about 350 Belarusian servicemen, as well as tanks, infantry fighting vehicles and self-propelled artillery units. And at the same time, the Slavic Brotherhood drills involving the Russian and Belarusian troops are on the way in Belarus. Moscow and Minsk are bound by the Collective Security Treaty, and within the framework of that treaty, the drills have been planned long before the Belarusian protest event that occurred after the August presidential elections in the country. By the way, Serbia was also planning to take part in the Slavic Brotherhood drills, but then Belgrade announced the introduction of a six-month moratorium on participation in all international maneuvers. Such a decision was made in order to maintain military neutrality, since the West is putting pressure on the Republic, forcing it to refuse to participate in maneuvers with Russian and Belarusian servicemen. The Caucasus 2020 drills will last for a week, but according to the Minister of Defense, the combat capability of the Russian army has not decreased due to the coronavirus pandemic. At all the activities, the servicemen strictly comply with the safety requirements. Various experts express different opinions regarding the drills. Some say Moscow is keen to ensure stability on the European continent. Others that the Caucasus 2020 exercise is aimed, among other things, at demonstrating to NATO the capabilities of Russia's armed forces to repel any large-scale aggressive actions. Yulia Shapova.
So, you just heard what is taking place with all of these nations, Central Asia's nations, right? In the Caucasus, what did I tell you, what did the Honorable Elijah Muhammad say about what's going to take place in Europe? See, you don't understand that these things right here, they cost money. Every time a nation has war games, especially when they have multiple participants, this costs major loot, major money, right? And they don't just do this just for preparation for war. They do this to flex muscles to show their opponents or their would-be enemies some of their capabilities. Right? And it is happening in the Caucasus, and this comes on the heel of America's muscle flexing in Europe and in Asia. This didn't just happen, and it comes with all of the threats about Iran. And these are the major participants, Iran, Russia, and China. And it happens in the Caucasus. What do we tell you? That in the Balkans and in the Caucasus, this is where that war would take place. This is where everything would jump off for that nuclear conflagration in Europe. So you see all of the pieces coming together. We ain't lying to you. We're telling you exactly, and we're showing you exactly what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said. And we're doing it in real time. Not lying to you. We point to it. We letting you hear it. We letting you see it. We letting you taste it, touch it, feel it. This is real. And this is happening at the same time that there's a great moved by other nations against the dollar. I'm going to play a clip that I played before. I believe I played this clip before. But I'm going to play two clips back to back because it goes hand in hand with something that is going on. All right? While these games are being played, these war games, America too is flexing her muscles militarily. But this is because America is sending a message to them that if they dump the dollar, there's no telling what I'm going to do. But at the same time, Russia has gotten rid of a huge amount of her dollar holdings, right? These other nations that are part of this Caucasus 2020, they have been investing in ulterior currencies and ulterior assets. All of them are trying to join the Belt and Road Project initiated and overseen by China. And when this, if this takes place, then the U.S. dollar will be excluded from global trade with those nations. Do you understand the magnitude of what is taking place? This is why America is dangling weapons to India and saying that we support India, because India also is against the Belt and Road thing, because India fears China and does not want China to become even more powerful than she is. Right? So America is dangling weapons and carrots to try to destabilize the Belt and Road Project. And it expands from Asia to Africa to Europe and even by ship to South and Central America. Right? And this has global, matter of fact, universal ramifications, because without the use of the dollar, America has no takers in her bonds. America has no takers in her dollar politics. And this weakens and almost neuters the empire and her war machine. See, there's something lying behind all of that. While Russia is accumulating gold, China has and still is accumulating gold. Iran is accumulating gold, right? It was once said that even under the sanctions, Iran and Turkey were trading with each other in their local currencies and in gold. And in gold. And this caught the ire of America. You didn't hear this in the news. You're not seeing nobody talking about this. We're watching the decoupling of the world economy from the dollar hook or the dollar anchor. And this is why you see muscle flexing and the demonization of these nations, because America will try at every instance to prevent the excommunication of the dollar and trade with these other nations. Right? So, with that said, let me share something with you. I've been told, and I was going to do a premium article, and I may still do it, but because I got so much information. But I've been told that the Chinese government had given some Chinese businesses the go ahead to default on multiple U.S. loans and multiple bonds. You know, because they bond mature, they're defaulting on multiple bonds, and talking about into the billions and billions of dollars as a way to hit back at America. Because now you have oil giants and gas giants selling their product in yuan or renminbi. If you hear me say renminbi, that's interchangeable with yuan, okay? So the government of China has told the nation, some of her businesses, to default on the debt they have in U.S. dollars. Why? Because China knows that she will never get all of her money back in her treasuries. So there have been billions and billions of defaults in U.S. dollars. Does this mean that the Chinese economy is imploding? No. This means that it is a strategic hit on America for what she's doing against China. And this will have global ramifications and implications coming soon down the pipeline for the American dollar as the world reserve currency. There's so much going on behind the scenes that you're not getting. Right? But if a man don't know, he just don't know. So what I'm trying to do is inform you of what's taking place. This is what's causing America to renege on her one China policy. This is why she sent and provoking China sent a dignitary to Taiwan. This is why America sent ships around the Taiwan Strait This is why America is demonizing China at the UN. Because of what China has instituted with her businesses now. If you hit us over here, we will quietly hit you over there. But when we hit you, you're going to feel the brunt of it. Economically, and it will send shockwaves through the political system. You understand? So, with that said, I'm going to play, keep this in mind, what I just said to you about the major defaults on debt held in U.S. dollars. Because remember, when America was overthrowing the Ukrainian government, I don't know if some of you are aware of this, but when America put in her color revolution in Ukraine and then told the European Union to follow suit, and Ukraine was coming up on her deadline to pay Russia back her billions of dollars that she borrowed from Russia, and the Ukrainian government installed by America was saying that the debt we have is illegal against our constitution. We shouldn't have to pay it back. And the European Union was flip-flopping on this. This has all the implication of what I'm telling you about what China just did, okay? So pay close attention. So the European Union was flip-flopping, and they were getting ready to say, well, we don't recognize the Ukrainian debt to Russia. Russia immediately, first they were patient about the situation, and then the State Department or the Foreign Affairs Department of Russia said, well, if our debt is illegitimate, the debt that Ukraine has to pay us is illegitimate, and it's not recognized by the European Union or America, then the debt that our corporations hold in euro and in dollar is illegitimate, and we would let them default on all of that, which was 20 times what Ukraine had. Then they went into it and said, okay, oh, no problem. The debt that Ukraine holds is legitimate. Because it would have caused a domino effect of defaults causing major companies in the U.S. and in the EU to collapse. And joblessness would explode like it already is. You understand? So what China is doing is something from the Russian playbook. And they are hurting the American economy, and you can feel it in your wallets already. But this is the law before the storm. So keep in mind that what I just said to you as you listen to these two clips here. Here's one.
China will seek to rid itself of a significant amount of the U.S. debt that it owns. That's according to an expert quoted in the state-backed Global Times outlet. It comes amid high tension between Beijing and Washington.
China will gradually decrease its holdings of U.S. debt to about $800 billion under normal circumstances. But of course, China might sell all of its U.S. bonds in an extreme case, like a military conflict.
Well, China owns more than $8 trillion of U.S. debt. Only Japan has more. But Beijing has already been offloading its share, dumping more than $100 billion worth in just 2020 alone. U.S.-issued debt is forecast to almost equal American GDP this year and to exceed it next. Such levels of debt haven't been seen since the end of the Second World War and are widely regarded as being risky. Relations between China and the U.S. have declined markedly after the Trump administration initiated a trade war. Washington also targeted Chinese tech firm Huawei, claiming it posed a security threat, something Beijing has denied. There are also tit-for-tat crackdowns on Chinese and U.S. media organizations, as well as consulate closures. I spoke earlier with financial commentator Jim Rogers. He says the dollar's dominance could be on the wane.
But my expectations are that when in the turmoil, the dollar will go higher, it will get overpriced, it might even turn into a bubble because there are very few alternatives, but that will probably be the last shot. The U.S. is now the largest debtor nation in the history of the world, and it's getting higher and higher every day. I'm not the only person who knows that, and other people will get worried. Traditionally, the U.S. dollar has been the soundest currency in the world, but tradition changes. Once upon a time, it was the British pound. Once upon a time, it was the Dutch guilder. Currencies change. History changes. And I'm an American, so I don't particularly like saying it, but I'm afraid the U.S. dollar is coming to its century or so of dominance, and something else will replace it.
You heard that? This is the backdrop of what you see playing out in the news. That is the backdrop. China is quietly defaulting on loans from its companies that were taken out in U.S. dollars. That's what's going on. China is also selling some of its holdings through fake companies and through Hong Kong, as not to raise the ire or the suspicion of the West and not to cause a stampede out of the dollar where they won't get as much as they plan to get back from their holdings on dollars. But to offset all of that, China has instituted a yuan-based system where the Asian nations, the ASEAN, that grouping there, would trade into Chinese yuan. China has instituted a bilateral swap agreement with African nations that are introducing, right? Do you want, it does not come as any surprise that the nations that started to accept the yuan on a current, on a swap basis, are the same nations that have now been flooded with these so-called terrorist groups, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, and Boko Haram. That's no coincidence. America's trying to destabilize these people and keep these governments off their tiptoes, keep them on their tiptoes, so that they won't meaningfully carry through the projects with China, which would mean liquidating dollar assets. For why would I use dollar in trade when I barely trade with the U.S.? This is what the nations are now asking. But we do a lot of trading with China. That's what they said. China is our number one or number two trade partner. They are our number one or number two investor. So why would we hold dollars and then give America a transaction fee to sell the dollars to the next nation? That is extortion by the U.S. system. I got to buy your dollars, and then for me to get goods, I got to sell your dollars, and each time you're the intermediary, and you get a cut. That's extortion. Because you do it with the gun up to the people's heads, that if you don't do this, if you don't do this, we'll sanction you. If you don't do this, we'll surround your nation or we'll flood your nation with terrorist organizations. Notice, everywhere you look, where they talk about ISIS and Al-Qaeda and Boko Haram, all of these so-called terrorist groups, they were never there prior to the introduction of American troops or American dignitaries. This should tell you something. This is a game being played, a geostrategic game being played by the empire to use her trained and Western-funded assets to destabilize and also to present back home a cause to fight against so that you can continue to fund the military-industrial complex. That's wicked as hell. Lives are not even worth salt. All you're concerned about is resources and geostrategic waterways and airways so that you can dominate. And to hell with 500,000 lives. To hell with 1 million lives. It's a drop in the bucket to the empire. You telling me that's not wicked as hell? If you don't believe that's wicked as hell, you're crazy as hell. But this is just the lull before the storm. See, again, you hear me mention often, God is so great. He's so benign. And he's so merciful. That when he created the universe, he laid at its base an enduring law and an enduring order that must be carried out. It cannot be disobeyed. It must be carried out. And this law, this order that he laid at the very base of creation is, as thou hast done, so shall it be done unto thee. Some people call it karma. Some people call it get back. Some people call it judgment. Right? But science says, right, that any force is met with an equal or greater force. Right? So, if America has been forcing the nations to their knees, forcing the leaders to bow, forcing the people to be subjected to their power, then there must be an equal or greater return of energy. She is not the exception to the laws of science and nature. This is what I'm trying to get to you. So if you're killing by the thousands and you're putting your boot on the neck of 68 million people with no remorse, no regret, then when things come back to you, it's going to be equal to or greater than. So this is why you see the white people up in arms and crying. This is why they're so in love with Trump. Not because he's smart, not because he's a politician. It's because he's talking the rhetoric that they want to hear that goes deep down into their soul to preserve the empire and to preserve white privilege and domination, even though it won't last. You're living in the law before the storm. Everything is coming to a zenith. Everything is coming to a tipping point. Everything is culminating towards the change of worlds, the change of orders, the change of powers. This is why you constantly hear, at one time it was just the men of politics, but now more so than ever, it's the military men and women who are often talking about China is trying to upset the rules-based order. This rules-based order has been established since 1942. And this is what we expect to continue. This rules-based order is the rules that you must go by under American domination. If you refuse to accept American and Western exceptionalism, then you are destabilizing a rules based upon white superiority. This is the order that they're looking at that is being upended by the nations around the globe and within our own borders. She can no longer pacify her ex-slaves. They're reaching out, they're protesting, they're rising up. The Drabos, right? They got to go through this. Blood has to be shed. Lives have to be lost. And with all that being done, the resurrection and the redemption of 68 million people is underway. Because you're getting a good look at the American political system, how they ignore your hurt, how they ignore your pain, how they ignore your suffering, how they look at you through the side eye. You're looking at that, and it's hurting you to your soul. But this is the chastisement, because you didn't accept right guidance, because you thought that what the white man had was better. You thought that his grass was greener. But when you got over there, that mushy grass, you realize that it was nothing but snakes and scorpions in there biting the hell out of you. And so when you realize that, you're going to want to jump back into the grass that you were once in, because it's free from the bites of serpents and snakes and scorpions. Right? This white man sees the end of his world. There's no doubt about it. Matter of fact, let me finish this clip. Let me play this clip here. This goes right along with the dollar. Remember, all of this stuff is tied together. This is why we do the show. This is why we're telling you, when you get a chance to, Saturday at 6 p.m. on YouTube, go to all one word, The Red Pill Diaries on YouTube, and subscribe. It's free of charge. And listen, we're going to interview Dick Croy on there. We're going to see what this guy has, this white writer has to say. You know, it's not the opinions of us. We like to give a broad view of what's on their mind, okay? But anyway, so that's Saturday, this Saturday at 6 p.m. But again, the white man's world, the white man's political system, his overarching economic system is in disarray. And as we told you, these are all the dots being connected, because you don't get the dots connected anywhere else. And we're showing you that what you see on the surface level is not really what's going on behind the scenes. It's so much more to it. I'm going to play this clip. Remember, I just told you about how China is letting some of their corporations, some of their businesses default on loans that were taken in the dollar, dollar-based loans, right? They were allowing this to happen. Why? To send a message to America. See, China don't talk and let everybody know publicly what's going on. America has, we'll do this and we'll do that. And see, that's the bluster. That's the hubris of empire. That's the arrogance of a nation. Well, China does, okay. You're doing that to us? Okay. Let's see how you take this over here. Next thing you know, boom. You start reeling and feeling the economic and political effects of the move that you had not even heard of. Okay? So you just heard these people saying that China is dumping at least 20% of the U.S. debt. Right? That's on top of him. China causing or allowing some of their companies and corporations to default on debts taken in U.S. dollars. So I want you to listen close to this, okay? Here we are.
Hey, guys. Welcome to the Silver Report Uncut. So I wanted to go over a very big change for the U.S. economy. You know, and our media is so terrible, they should have picked up on this. This should have been headline news because it's a major announcement. Now, if you guys were following our program a year or a year and a half ago, China made some sort of announcement. There was an accident. Actually, I think it was Bloomberg said China made an announcement they planned to sell their U.S. treasuries. They were just saying they were going to sell some. Now, immediately after that story ran, the market, it began to sell off. And that was during a time when we were hitting those constant all-time highs. So it was like a black swan came out of nowhere when the announcement, just the thought that China planned to sell U.S. treasuries. Now, they went back and retracted that, and it's possible it was just a test to see how markets would react. And we know markets have been declining on Thursday and Friday. Well, this announcement was made on Thursday. Now, I don't think people are giving enough credit to the significance of China and the U.S. coming and butting heads together. It's very significant. The two largest economies in the entire world are now deciding they're not going to buy each other's products. This is really accelerating. It's not like it's going away. Everybody's going to shake hands and we can get back to the way things were. Now, someone brought up a very good point, but I think it's still about half complete. But it's still mostly true. They were saying that China's economy is crashing because demand from the U.S. is declining. Now, they were saying that demand is declining because of the recession. But the reason I say it's half complete is because demand is declining throughout the entire world because of the recession. But there's also some extra dynamics for the U.S. that makes things different. Americans themselves have been deciding not to buy goods produced in China. And I really am convinced that we're at the beginning of this type of activity. And I also believe it's going to metastasize some more. Now, the world, I'm not sure, is discounting just what that means for the global economy. But this is not going to be just like ripping off a Band-Aid. There's going to be some structural damage that is going to take place if we disconnect these economies. If China's economy goes into total economic collapse, the entire world is going to go into a recession. And China's not totally defenseless. And I wanted to go over this new article that came out that reported that China was planning on selling some of its $1 trillion of U.S. Treasury securities. Not even a little bit either. I think they're talking about shaving 20% of their holdings. Now, their holdings have been declining since 2013. Chinese holdings of U.S. debt has been steadily declining, and they're currently at their lowest level in 8 years. Now, there used to be a common saying, and for some reason, in our modern times, we seem to be behaving like our world doesn't operate with certain general principles. And the saying was, when China sneezes, the world catches a cold. Now, Japan used to be one of the most powerful economies in the world, and they had very aggressive economic growth. Somewhere, behind some back door, something changed all of that, and their economy was toppled. Japan was the China of the 90s. After their stock market fell in what was called the Asian contagion, it never recovered after that moment. They just slowly drifted into obsolescence. But after that took place, it wasn't just their economy that got taken down, it was the entire world. And so what it meant was that our economies are so interconnected right now that any of the major world economies can't really have a recession without it rippling through the rest of the world. It's true for certain countries more than others, but the same thing happened during the Great Recession, which was a mortgage-backed security crisis. It was a financial crisis, and it was so severe it plunged the entire world into a recession. It then became known as the global financial crisis. So while they have gradually reduced the size of their treasury holdings, they've never really undertaken a major liquidation. Now, the state-run news agency known as the Global Times said on Thursday that China was planning a huge U.S. Treasury dump. Now, it was front-page news, citing state-linked experts. Now, what they said was, quote, China may gradually reduce its holdings of U.S. Treasury bonds to about $800 billion from the current levels of more than $1 trillion as the ballooning U.S. federal deficit increases default risks and the Trump administration continues its blistering attack on China, unquote. Now, they went on to detail what's going on with the U.S. budget deficit. The U.S., if you're unaware, is entering an unprecedented financial collapse. The government has gone on to chaotic spending with no real end in sight. They've had record months of money expansion and have been increasing the M2 money supply at around 20 to 22% a month. Now, the U.S. budget deficit is expected to hit a record $3.3 trillion in the next 2 to 3 years. Now, they said in the first 6 months of this year alone, the world's second largest holder of U.S. debt dumped $106 billion worth of U.S. Treasury bonds, and they said they're looking to continue trimming their holdings systematically because, like I said, this is escalating. Now, we know the real reason they would like to tank the U.S. stock market. But the reason they cited was that China is anxious over risks associated with the surging debt level in the U.S., which is a valid point, and they noted that it's expected to actually exceed the size of the U.S. economy in 2021, something that has never happened during peacetime. Now, what's worse is what the Congressional Budget Office says will take place over the next 30 years. There's set to be a rapid acceleration of the budget deficit and the increase in debt. Now, the article, it cited a Shanghai University of Finance and Economics professor named Zhi Zhuzhang, and he said, quote, China will gradually decrease its holdings of U.S. debt to about $800 billion under normal circumstances. So coming down from over $1 trillion to $800 billion, they're trimming 20% of their treasuries. It's a massive pile. But that's not the most shocking part. The most shocking part is this statement, quote, but of course, China might sell all of its U.S. bonds in an extreme case, like in the event of a conflict. Now, in truth, this policy would be disastrous for China itself because the Fed has already lost its mind. The Fed has monetized 3 times as much debt as China is holding in just the past 3 months alone. But the point is significant. They have now brought it onto the table, the potential, a head-to-head struggle for the world's economy. Now, the unspoken truth here is that this, it will not be smooth for the world. The world's not going to get over this just easily. It's my personal conviction that these are some things that needed to be done. We needed to disconnect. We needed to reshore some of our production. And honestly, if we don't do it right now, and I mean right now, the U.S. won't be in a position to do much about it 10 years from now. That just doesn't mean it's going to be painless. I thank you guys for stopping by and joining us.
So, you heard what he said, and you heard what he was reading. He was talking about what China is doing behind closed doors. Now, remember, and I got to pat myself on the back because I know on several shows I've explained this, because I kept telling you, don't believe the hype of what these business news insiders were saying about China's economy was collapsing. Everybody's economy is collapsing. But what did I tell you? The law of nature always prevails. That's self-preservation. If I'm in debt and I've loaned you money and my mortgage is due, I'm going to call that loan in. So I don't care if you got to pay your mortgage. You borrowed something from me. I got to pay mine. I'm going to call my debt in on you, and I'm going to save my house. Maybe I lose my house 6 months from now, but you'll lose yours now. You understand? This is what's going on here. And as I was listening to him, I looked down. I was getting a news alert. And I looked down, and I'm going to play a clip. But I looked down on my phone, and I'm scrolling something, and I see Stephen Roach on here, who is an economist. You know, and he's also a professor at Yale University. And I'm looking at my phone right now. If we were on the Red Pill Diaries, you'd actually be able to see me pointing to this, and I'll have it up on the screen or whatever so you can see it. But this article comes out, and it's courtesy of CNBC. And the headline is this. Now, while he was talking, I just looked at this. And what, see, Allah is great. He gives you all you need. You just got to be open to receive it. So this headline says, economist Stephen Roach issues new dollar crash warning, sees double-dip recession odds above 50%. Now, we all know the odds are way above that, but you got to say that. Listen to what he says. And I'm reading this for the first time with you. I only read the headline and maybe the first sentence. But we're reading, because it was talking about the dollar and the economy, I want to read it with you, all right? So in his article, he writes, economist Stephen Roach warns next year will be brutal for the dollar. Not only does he see growing odds of a double-dip recession, the Yale University senior fellow believes his seemingly crazed idea that the dollar would crash shouldn't be so crazy anymore. We've got data that's confirmed both the saving and current account dynamic in a much more dramatic fashion than even I was looking for, Roach told CNBC's Trading Nation on Wednesday. Roach highlights two ominous second quarter figures. The current account deficit in the United States, which is the broadest measure of our international imbalance with the rest of the world, suffered a record deterioration in the second quarter. He said, the so-called net national savings rate, which is the sum of savings of individuals, businesses, and government sector, also recorded a record decline in the second quarter, going back into negative territory for the first time since the global financial crisis. Right now, the U.S. dollar index is trading around 94. When Roach predicted on Trading Nation last June the index would plunge 35%, it's trading around 96. At the time, Roach estimated it would happen in the next year or two or maybe more, but now he sees it happening by the end of 2021. Stop right there for a minute. What have we been telling you about a time frame that's laid out that you will see multitudes of cascading events taking place between the 60 to not exceed 70-year grace period? Well, this man is hitting it right there. And he says, lacking in saving and wanting to grow, we run these current account deficits to borrow surplus savings, and that always pushes the currency's lower. He said, the dollar is not immune. What did I tell you about that law that was put in the very core of the universe? What did I tell you about that law? Right? He said, the dollar is not immune to that time-honored judgment. Roach, who's former chairman of Morgan Stanley Asia and lived in Asia during the deadly 2003 SARS epidemic, is also worried about the state of the economic recovery as U.S. coronavirus deaths top 200,000 and Europe sees a resurgence in infections. He puts the probability of a double-dip recession, they don't want to say depression, of a double-dip recession above 50%. As we head into flu season, with the new infection rates moving above and back up again, with mortality unacceptably high, the risk of an aftershock is not something you can dismiss, Roach said. The record of history suggests that this is not a time unlike what the frothy markets are doing to bet that this is different. Now, what is he saying in all that jargon? They see an economic collapse underway. It startled him when he looked at the numbers, because he had made predictions that it would happen before 2025, but when he doubled down and saw the new numbers, I said, oh, no. I see a dollar collapse no later than the end of 2021. Because the laws there, the dollar-based system has to obey the laws. Haven't I been telling you that? There's a law ingrained in the very foundation and the creation of the universe that not even America is exempt to. And just so happened, I'm looking down while the other clip is playing, and I see this news alert, and I tap on it. And the headline is, whoa! Remember that. Economist Stephen Roach issues new dollar crash warning. Sees double-dip recession odds above 50%. Now, we're looking at an economic collapse, right? As a matter of fact, let's look at something. Let's go to a quick clip here, which is on the tail of this. It's about 2 minutes. Listen closely.
Is there a real threat right now to the U.S. dollar's status as the world's reserve currency?
Yes, there is a threat. It's an evolutionary type of process. There's not yet a good alternative in the form of a currency per se, but people are not investors. Big, large institutional investors don't run out necessarily to alternative currency, because the three major reserve currencies all have the same basic problem. That's why they move into a new storehold of wealth. And you see that the storehold of wealth, like in 1933 reaction, is equities, is gold, is other asset classes that go up. So when you buy a company and you have low returns on your bonds and so on, that is that kind of movement, but the same is true for gold and other asset classes. If that gets too far, and it's standing the risk of, it's very dangerous. It looks like a currency defense. In other words, if those who are holding bonds, which are a lot, choose to sell the bonds because they're not providing a good return, and they're not, and because there's so much debt production and debt monetization, that puts the Federal Reserve or other central banks in the very difficult position of operating like a currency defense. Mechanistically, as money leaves that debt, that means either interest rates would rise, which would be terrible for the economy and markets, or they're forced to buy more and more. And that is how a spiral could occur.
So that was Ray Dalio, an investor. And they're all talking about, you see, you just heard Stephen Roach that I read. They're talking about this threat to the U.S. dollar. See, they see it now. We've been telling you this for the last few years, and they see it now. Nobody else was talking on these issues. We were. We were talking on these issues. We were telling you with certainty that these things would take place. There was no shaking and jiving in our voices. We were telling you the truth. And now, I ask you, did we come around to their perspective and view, or are they now being forced to acknowledge that we are right because we follow the Honorable Elijah Muhammad? I'm asking you this. This is a clear-cut way to see who is who and what is what. Now, let me read something real quick, because it goes hand in hand with trade. How I tell you, when Elijah Muhammad speaks, he's speaking on a multitude of levels, and you've got to be wise enough to discern. And you've got to be wise enough to understand what he's giving you. So, as I was reading, chapter 28 is modern Nineveh as merciless as ancient Nineveh. As ancient Nineveh. I flipped over, because this is what I'm going to skip all these paragraphs. It was talking about how they mistreat us and how they shed our blood. And I wanted to go down to the bottom page, 118, 119, okay? This is a short thing because I'm going to play a clip. I know time is of the essence, and we got like 10 minutes, but we may go over like 2 or 3 minutes, so bear with me. I want you to listen to some, how Elijah Muhammad was talking about separation, how he was talking about a few states of our own, how he was talking about the massive unemployment, happening and the American economy collapsing and how the Americans would be forced out of Asia. I want you to listen to this because you're seeing it. We have already shown you this with the clips. But we want you to understand where it came from. So he says, there is no justice for the poor, so-called Negroes in America, as long as they are subject under the American flag. A great attempt is now being made on the poor, lost, found, so-called Negroes to deceive them by making false friendship and the passage of civil rights bills and forcing themselves to accept the lost, found, so-called Negroes in their social equality. This is only a trap. See, it's only a trap to get in the political system. It's only a trap to think that they accept you and then you go and embrace them. Muhammad says, to accept it will make us enemies of God. And our black people of Africa and Asia who are our true friends. It would be totally ignorant on our part to be swept away to our doom by accepting these maelstrom promises of social equality temptations. Our ignorant masses, the ones you see protesting, the ones you see on TV that are talking about the political system and we got to vote, we got to vote, we got to vote. Our ignorant masses cannot be trusted under the charms, the temptations of unalike. But in the end, you will regret your actions. If America wants to offer us a better side of her, don't just tell us you love us. Don't just tell us we got equality. Don't just tell us you're going to give us justice. If you want to offer us a better side, Muhammad says, why not offer something of permanent good, such as a portion of the country, a few states, for our ever-increasing population? Will the white man fool himself and continuously, listen to this, this is where I'm getting to, and continuously making promises to us that he knows he cannot fulfill. He has his own problems of unemployment with the ever-increasing unemployed of his own kind fleeing from Asia and Africa. Plus, listen to what he says, plus the loss of foreign trade. Didn't we just hit that? Didn't we just hit that with the clips? See, I told you. But some of you get this pulpit mentality. You got the preacher mentality that you're just talking about, oh, spirituality. All of these things are connected. You cannot have one without the other as the base. But listen, he says, he has his own problems of unemployment with the ever-increasing unemployed of his own kind fleeing from Asia, though business is being shuttered. Remember, Trump started a trade war. So China and the other nations are hitting back, which is meaning that the people, the U.S. people that were employed over there are losing their companies and their jobs and are being forced to move back here. So he says, fleeing from Asia and Africa plus the loss of foreign trade. Can we hope for him to care for us and our children forever? Emphatically no. We need a place on this earth that we can call our own and go to work and produce our own needs. And this will provide us with employment for our unemployed. Let no man deceive you. We are face to face with the change of worlds. This is what you're seeing now. I got a call. I know that Brother Rashid, hold your horses for 1 second. I got a 7 or 8 minute clip I need to play. All right? That means that we're going to go about 4 to 10 minutes overtime. Do not answer your phone. Do not click off your URL. Stay listening. We thank you for your patience, but stay listening. I want you to hear this by Richard Wolf, okay?
Live from the world headquarters of RT America in our nation's capital, this is the news with Rick Sanchez.
And hi, everybody. I'm Rick Sanchez. I'm here to welcome our viewers from all over the world, including those of you who are watching us on your phones using the portable TV app. The word of the day is enigma. It means puzzling, mysterious, difficult to understand, which exactly describes what is going on right now with the U.S. economy. Here's the dichotomy. Unemployment remains at or near 9%, which is crazy high, by the way. Our national debt, when compared to our GDP, is at about 106%. That means that we owe more than we have or are able to make for the first time in our nation's history. Our present condition is still being compared by most economists to both the Great Depression of 1929 and the meltdown of 2008. But then there's this. Wall Street is breaking records left and right, and the nation's wealthy are awash with money, looking for places to put it. What about average Americans? Well, here's where the story gets even more weird. Americans seem to be spending almost like there's no tomorrow. While car sales slumped for a couple of months because of COVID, now car sales are higher than they've ever been. Homes are selling so fast, most realtors are complaining they're running out of inventory. They're running out of homes to sell. When it comes to online consumption, right now in the United States, Americans are buying and buying and buying. So here's the enigma. Which is it? Are we in a depression, as the economic numbers seem to show? Or are we in some kind of boom of some type, as American consumption habits seem to suggest? That's the enigma, one that we're going to try and tackle for you right here with none other than Professor Richard Wolff, one of the clearest voices in America when it comes to explaining the complexities of economics. That's next here on the News with Rick Sanchez, where we truly believe, as we often say, it's time to do news again. Okay, here we go with the list of the questions we think you'll be asking tomorrow after watching our newscast today. How and why are Americans spending so much while in the thick of a recession? Has Google gotten too big? And is that why the DOJ is targeting it? What message is the U.S. sending Russia in buzzing Crimea with bombers? All right, here's where we're going to start. We're going to try to understand what to many seems almost unexplainable. In the midst of a recession, sales of cars and homes are up, and despite the two-day bump in stocks, the stock market has been breaking records and banks are awash with money. How do you explain this? How do you make sense of this? This is what Professor Richard Wolff does on his podcast and on his YouTube channel called Economic Update on almost a daily basis. So he is the perfect guest for us to have this conversation with. Okay, here we go, Professor. Try and make us understand whether we're actually in a boom or a bust, because I'm confused, and I think a lot of other folks are too.
Yes, let me try. I understand the confusion. I understand the perplexity. But it is, in fact, not all that complicated. Since the pandemic hit, or to be more accurate, since the economy turned down, which happened in February before the pandemic hit us anyway, we had an economy that was already extremely unequal. A small group of people that had gotten smaller over the last 40 years had collected into their hands more and more wealth. And the vast middle class that we were so proud of back in the 20th century keeps getting smaller and poorer and more pressed with more debts and so forth. And out of that situation, we then had a typical economic crash. We have them every 4 to 7 years. And on top of it, this horrible pandemic. We could have been prepared for it. We could have had all the stuff we need stored across the country where we need it. We know how to do that because that's what the military does. Mm-hmm. They buy the bombers, they buy the planes, they buy the guns, they store them where they need to be, and they're on constant readiness with 2 million plus service people. We could have, much cheaper, the same thing to prepare for a virus. We should have, we didn't, we failed. And on top of that, as a society, we have now failed to contain the virus, having failed to prepare for it. Mm-hmm. Okay, this produces, as you rightly put it, a crash akin only to the worst in the history of U.S. capitalism. And what have we done? The answer is we have a broken Congress and presidency at each other, not doing enough, not doing it quickly enough. And then we have the one agency that is able to function pretty much as it wants to, and that's our central bank, the Federal Reserve. Mm-hmm. So what they've done is created and pumped into the economy vast amounts of money. We're talking trillions of dollars. But because we have so much unemployment, it makes no sense for the producers of most goods and services to invest that new money in producing more. They're having trouble selling most of what they produce, except the cars and homes, as you pointed out. But most other things are not moving. So where does the money go? Answer, the one place left where people can make money with money, buy a share of stock, hold it for a few weeks or months, sell it to a person just like you who went and got very low interest, cheap, free money from the Federal Reserve and buying stocks. So the stocks go up, the rich people who own most of the stocks cash in, and the rest of us live with it.
Here's what I have to ask you, because I'm hearing people say, so what if the Fed is putting all this money out there? And so what if they continue doing it for another 2 years? So what if they continue doing it for another 4 years? So what if they continue doing it for another 10 years? We'll just live in an economy where the Fed keeps printing money, and that's how Americans can then buy their new cars and their houses, and the stock market will just keep going up. What's wrong with that?
What's wrong with that is we have seen this story before. This is an old video being replayed. If you have a stock market that builds on itself in this way, we have a word for that. It's called the bubble. It means that everybody who's playing the stock market, who knows anything, certainly all the professionals, they're waiting for the moment that this bubble looks vulnerable. And then you'll see what we saw yesterday, which is a collapse of the market, extreme, very quickly. We're all waiting for that to happen, and the danger is if the Fed continues doing what it's doing, making the rich richer and everybody else in trouble, we're waiting for that crash of the market, and given an underlying economy of the sort we have now, that will be a real doozy.
Is it inevitable, though, down to about 10, 20 seconds before we run out of time, is it inevitable? That's the question.
I don't know quite what inevitable means, but I can answer you this way. Every time in the past we've had bubbles like this, they've burst, and the story has been very ugly when it happened.
So every time the situation has even looked like this, they've had bubbles, and the bubbles burst, and the story has been very ugly. And remember, never before when the bubbles burst was the economy so out of whack. America no longer produces anything but war. And her war material is junk and dollars. And the world is starting to reject her dollars. So she has no manufacturing capacity. She's the largest debtor nation in the history of the world. So this magnifies the nastiness of what it would look like when I told y'all that this would be biblical and this would be Mad Max-like. This is what I was getting to. Now, in closing, let's go to page 203, chapter 49, Fall of America. The title of the show is The Lull Before the Storm. This is The Lull Before the Storm. And the chapter that we go out on is Lull Before the Storm. Muhammad writes, I am afraid for you that you will receive what the people before you did receive. Allah is very angry with America and the technology that she uses on the dead to keep them dead. You are very disappointing to Allah and to the original black man who knows himself, a very few of course. The false show of a glorious future that the wicked is putting on is at hand. We must remember Daniel's prophecy that at the end of the war, desolations are determined. But before this happens, Allah will bless the people with a good time, as he did the people of the past, who wronged themselves and who did not pay attention to the prophet's warning among them. Allah destroyed them. They thought that they were fooling Allah, but Allah surprised them. He made the people rejoice for a short time with a great show of prosperity. And at the height of their great prosperity, suddenly he destroyed them. This is the merciful law that Allah has put in nature. Allah lets a dying person rally before the end. America is going to do the same. America will rally, and people will think that she's going to have a great future. And then the end will come in that kind of time. America's end will not come while she is going around with her head hanging down and with her heart aching and failing because of the things that are coming on her nation. No, she will be made to enjoy good times. The stock market going up. What did he just say? That is detached from reality. The stock market is going up, and lots of shares being sold. What did Mr. Wolf say? Lots of shares being sold, right? The stock market is hitting all-time highs, right? The stock market is going up, and lots of shares being sold. This makes any man think that everything is all right. But this is only the lull before the storm. Brothers and sisters, I want you to make sure that you are mindful of all this stuff. Go to the Hiram's 1555 blog. Donate if you can. If not, just read the articles. It doesn't hurt. It's free. If you can, sign up on the Patreon. And please go over to the Red Pill Diaries, all one word, and subscribe on Facebook, because we're trying to give you this stuff and let you see for yourself what nobody is talking about. We're in the change of worlds. And what you see now is only the lull before the storm, with an undying love and passion for the liberation, the upliftment, and the redemption of 68 million of our kind, first here in America, then the billions around the globe. Know that your brother Rashid Muhammad loves you to life. I don't love you to death. I love you to life, because you've been dead for 400 years, and now through the mercy of Allah and the sacrifice of his last messenger, you will live again. But the love that I have pales in comparison to the love that my God, my Savior and my Redeemer, Almighty God Allah, who has come to us in the merciful personage of Master Farad Muhammad, his messenger, the last and the greatest of the messengers of God, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and that mighty, mighty nation of Islam has for you. Until we next speak again, stay strong, stay true, but above all things, stay righteous. I love you all. As-salamu alaykum.
For information on our next show, please visit trumpetoftruth.wordpress.com and click on the Blog Talk Radio button. Until we converse again, always remember, no matter how low society may have rendered you, the wisdom of the one true God will lift you on high. May God bless and keep you. The Star and Crescent Report was created and directed by Rashid Muhammad, produced by Nicole Muhammad, and hosted by Rashid Hiram, 1555 Muhammad. Have a blessed day.
That I like the moon I miss. Day to day the rosy day.